You're listening to sermons from Bethany Baptist Church. For more information, visit us at bethanychicago.org.
Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him from saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And then Jesus was baptized. Immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased."
Bautismo de Jesús. 3:13-17. Un día Jesús fue de Galilea a Jordán para que Juan lo bautizara, pero Juan trató de disuadirlo. "Yo soy el que necesita ser bautizado por ti, y tú vienes a mí", objetó. "Hagamos como te digo, pues nos conviene cumplir con lo que es justo", le contestó Jesús. Entonces Juan consintió. Tan pronto como Jesús fue bautizado, subió del agua. En ese momento se abrió el cielo y él vio al Espíritu de Dios bajar como una paloma y pasaré sobre él. Y una voz del cielo decía, "Este es mi Hijo amado, estoy muy complacido con él." La palabra de Dios.
Good morning, everyone. I'm on, right? Happy New Year to everyone again, as it is the first Sunday of 2022. And it's a pleasure to be with you guys again here at Bethany Baptist to worship this morning. And I hope you all had a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. For me, I just recently came back from South Carolina, where my family is. So I went down to see them for Christmas. And I've been someone who has not lived much around my family the past handful of years, with this being the second time I've seen them in about 5 or 6 years. And it's not because I don't enjoy being around my family, but the Lord has just led me to live and do ministry in other places. And one of the hard things for me being away for so long is to see my family growing up, especially my little cousins. I was always close to my little cousins. They're all younger than me, and so I was always the older one that would babysit my little cousins and always around them and being kind of the role model for them, for better or for worse. But the past few years, they've been growing up really fast, and even some of them are starting to have kids of their own, which is really weird to see that, to see people that I used to babysit having kids. But it's exciting in some ways to see them as parents now. It's just very surreal to see it happen right there in front of me. One of the cool things to see them as parents, though, is to see the similarities in their kids to them. Even as infants and toddlers, you can see the similarities to their parents. And I'm sure you have seen or maybe even experienced this yourself, that you see a kid and they look exactly like one of their parents. Sometimes a little too much. But other times, you see kids, and it's not so obvious that that's their kid. They look nothing like their parents, but you know that's their kid because they tell you that's their kid. And even in those cases, you can begin to see similarities with those kids to their parents. As they grow up, you see similarities in their personalities and quirks and habits to their parents. And I share that because today, we will see one of the many clear reasons why we, as Christians, believe Jesus is the Son of God. And so with that, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and that your word is true and trustworthy, inspired by you. We thank you for the testimony of your son and who Jesus is. And we just pray that you would prepare our hearts, our minds, and open our hearts and minds to receive your word in truth, to receive it and to believe it, and that you would encourage us and in our faith, that you would teach us, instruct us, and that you would make the clear testimony of your son to anyone here that doesn't know Christ, that you would make it clear to them today. So we just pray for your spirit to work in each person, minister to each person as they need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the title of this sermon is A Divine Declaration. And that's what we see here, a divine declaration. And we see in two sections here in this short passage, just four verses, but we see Jesus is baptized in verses 13 through 15, and then Jesus is revealed in verses 16 through 17. And the main point here is simple. It is Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. You might add, Jesus is the perfect Son of God. And so we see Jesus is baptized in verses 13 through 15. As we just read, Jesus comes to the Jordan from Galilee. And previously we saw in Matthew 2 that Jesus was raised in a town of Galilee named Nazareth. After his family had fled to Egypt, they came back and he was raised in the region of Galilee in a town called Nazareth. And Jesus now comes to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. And the preceding 12 verses introduce us to that guy, John. And Brock gave a sermon last week, if you're here, on John, John the Baptist, and who this guy was. John was a prophet sent by God to prepare the way of the Lord, of his anointed one. He was the forerunner to the Messiah. He came calling that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, meaning the kingdom of heaven is near, and that people should repent of their sins, that they should turn from their sins and themselves and turn back to God, their creator. But he also spoke of someone that will come after him, that anointed one, that Messiah that would come after him, and that this one was greater than he, and that this one, the Messiah, will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire, meaning that this Messiah will save by baptizing with the Holy Spirit, and he will judge by baptizing with fire those who reject him. And so here we are in this passage today, and Jesus is coming to John to be baptized by John. But why is Jesus getting baptized? Remember, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance of sin. Does Jesus need to repent of sin? Why is Jesus getting baptized? Well, we need to know that Jesus is not getting baptized because he has sinned and is now repenting. That is not why he's getting baptized. Look here in verse 14. It says, John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? So we can see that John himself is somewhat aware of this truth, that Jesus does not need to be baptized. Jesus does not need to repent, as he attempts to hold Jesus back from doing this. And John tells him, I need to be baptized by you. John is recognizing that this is the one that is greater than him, the one that he had just been talking about. Jesus doesn't need to repent of anything. You see, the Bible teaches that Jesus was sinless. He was the spotless and blameless, perfect Son of God. Spotless and blameless regarding sin. He was without sin. He was the man with no sin. So why is Jesus getting baptized? And we see in verse 15 here, but Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. So verse 15 says that Jesus was getting baptized to fulfill all righteousness. What does that mean? For them to fulfill all righteousness. What does that mean? Jesus is confirming John as the prophet that was coming before the Messiah. Jesus is confirming John as the forerunner to the Messiah. And later in Matthew 11, you will see that, right? You can, as you go through the book of Matthew, you'll see that in Matthew 11, that Jesus confirms John as the one that will go before the Messiah, and that Jesus is that Messiah, the promised Savior, King of God's people, and that John is the prophet who's the forerunner to the Messiah King. But also, Jesus is identifying with sinners. Jesus is identifying with sinners. Previously, in Matthew's gospel account, we see Jesus as the one who identifies with Israel, the story of Israel, as the true Israelite. We see this at his birth. And his life is very paralleled to the story and testimony of Israel and their beginnings. Jesus is the promised seed of Abraham. Jesus had to flee for refuge in Egypt, similar to the Israelites. And there in Egypt, if you remember that the Israelites were under attack by Pharaoh, the pagan Egyptian ruler, who threatened to kill the male boys. And God protects Moses, who then would deliver his people out of Egypt. And the same thing happens in the life of Jesus. He flees to Egypt when Herod the king decides to kill all the male boys in the area, because he hears that there's another king. But God protects his son, who comes out of Egypt to save his people. And here, so Jesus has been identifying with Israel and the story of Israel, the beginning of Israel, his life, as parallel to their beginning. But here, Jesus is being baptized to identify himself not with just Israel, but with all sinners, Jew and Gentile. He's getting baptized to identify with the sinners he came to save. He is not getting baptized to repent of anything, but to identify with sinners he came to save. And this is something that we should not overlook. Jesus did not just come into this world to do a job for the Father, but the Son of God willingly came into this world and became a man, truly God, truly man, to identify with the very people he came to save. He became wholly like them by becoming a human. Still God, but also fully man, so that he can identify with the people he came to save, so that he could relate to us, those that he came to rescue, to the very disobedient people he came to save, he came to identify with. And so Jesus is baptized to identify with sinners. But the point of this passage is to show us not just Jesus identifying with those he came to save, but to show the true identity of Jesus himself. And that's the second part of this passage, when Jesus is baptized in verses 16 through 17. Jesus is revealed as the Son of God. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." So this is a supernatural sight here. This is a divine declaration from God the Father himself that Jesus is the Son of God. And there are many passages in Scripture that speak of Jesus' deity. We see in the gospel accounts proofs that Jesus is God through his life, his teachings, his declarations, and his works. And you read the New Testament writings of the apostles, and they make the same declaration that Jesus is God. He is the Son of God. And some of those statements are very clear, but some of them come from time reading the word, studying the word, making the connections and what they're implying. But here you have a very clear, explicit declaration from God himself that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, you might be thinking, wait, God the Father says that Jesus is God also. That's confusing a little bit, right? Because isn't there only one true God? And yes, you're right. You're right. As Christians, we believe that the Bible says that there's one true God. One true God. The Bible starts off in Genesis 1 with God creating everything in existence. But before the universes, before the heavens, and before the earth was made, God was there, eternally existed. God has always existed and will exist, and he exists today. He's the eternal, everlasting God. And the prophet Isaiah says there's no God before him, and there's no God after him. There's no God besides him. In Deuteronomy 6:4, it says that the Lord God is one. The Lord God is one. And he is the one worthy of all of our worship. We are created for his glory. But here is the mind-blowing truth that what the Bible also teaches, that this one true God exists in three persons. It's a confusing concept that our finite minds struggle to grasp, but we submit our hearts, our minds, to God's revelation to us through his word and what he says. And going back to Genesis there, and the very first chapter, in Genesis 1, verse 26, God says, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." So the one true God, when he's creating man, says to himself, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." And we see multiple hints of this in the Old Testament, that God exists as one person, but there's this plurality in his nature. And those things that are fuzzy and blurry in the Old Testament are made more clear in the New Testament. And this is one of those important truths, and we see it clearly in this passage here, that this one true God, the Lord, exists in three separate but equal beings: the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And you see all three right here at the baptism of Jesus. The Father speaking, the Son there being baptized and declared as the Son of God, and the Spirit of God descending upon the Son. And this is what we as Christians call the Trinity. And the Bible never uses that word, but this is what the Bible does teach, that God exists, one true God, but as three persons: the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. But we just use that term to describe this amazing concept, which has been and always will be a vital truth to the Christian faith, because it describes the God we put our trust in. And there's been many people who have gone before us who have lived their lives and even given their lives to declare and defend that truth, that God is one and he exists as three persons: the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And so we see here at the baptism of Jesus, God the Holy Spirit descending like a dove and resting on Jesus. We hear the voice of God the Father declare that this is his Son, and Jesus is the Son of God. One God, three beings. Each are fully divine God, but they are distinct and separate beings. And so if you're ever teaching about God, trying to explain God in the Trinity to someone as you're sharing your faith, this is a clear passage to go to. To read with someone and walk with them and explain to them, what does it mean that we believe that God is one and in three persons? Right here at the baptism of Jesus, we see that. And you can read this passage with them and walk them through that. God the Father declaring this himself, the Holy Spirit as a visible confirmation of this, and John is witnessing all of this, that Jesus is the Son of God. And going back to my illustration of the children resembling their parents earlier, sometimes it is external and obvious that a son or daughter is a child of those parents. But other times you need someone to tell you that their kid is their son or daughter. And We see that here, God giving this divine declaration that this is his son. But unlike that illustration, we need to remember that the son is not created. All right? It's easy for us as just humans in our world and culture, we hear the Son of God and we think of someone that's automatically somewhat created, someone lesser because he was created. But the Bible says that Jesus is the creator of all things. You can read in John 1 or Colossians 1 that Jesus created everything, and without him, there was nothing made that was made. That he created everything for him, for his glory. And in Hebrews 1, it even tells us that Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's nature. And so Jesus is the Son of God. He is fully divine, the Son of God. In verse 17, we see the Father make that declaration. And it says, verse 17, "And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" And so in this profound statement, we see the identity of Jesus declared the Son of God. And what does it mean that God is well pleased with Jesus? We again see that Jesus is the perfect and sinless one. The Father is well pleased with the life of Jesus. He approves of him. He is pleased by him because Jesus never sinned. Jesus is the Son of God, the perfect, sinless Son of God. And that's how this passage ends. But the question is that we need to think as we read this passage and to remember is, why is Jesus here on earth? If this is the Son of God, why is he here on earth veiled as a human? Why is he here on earth as a human? Well, 1 John chapter 4, verses 14 through 15 says, "We have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God." So the one true God created everything, including each one of us. But each one of us have sinned and turned against God. We have disobeyed God. We've turned against him, rebelled against him, sinned against him, and so we are separated from God. And we each deserve God's punishment for our sins. But God, in his love and grace, sent Jesus into this world as a man, truly God, truly man, to be our Savior, to live the perfect, sinless life we could not live, to die for our sins and rise from the grave. And that verse there in 1 John chapter 4, it says, "Whoever confesses the Son, whoever confesses Jesus as the Son of God and their Savior, God abides in them, and they in God." And to deny this truth is to deny and reject the testimony of the Father himself, who made this declaration of his Son at his baptism. So as Christians, we remember and celebrate the glorious, amazing truth every day that the Son of God came into this world. Not just Christmas or Easter, but every day that Jesus, the Son of God, came into this world to save us. And whoever confesses the Son has the Father, and we are in God, and God in us. And this truth of Jesus being God is the core to our Christian faith. It's the heart of the gospel, because no man can save us, but the God-man, Jesus, can save us. And so we need to hold to the truth, cling to this truth, and teach this truth to others, that Jesus is God. And so may we believe it, and may we grow in our worship of Jesus. Because as he is God, he's worthy of our worship. And may we also share this truth with the lost world who desperately need it. But we can also show this truth to the world by following the example of Jesus and being baptized. Baptism is something that we as Christians believe that doesn't save us, but it is a public symbol of our faith in Jesus as the Son of God. Jesus identified with us by being baptized, and we identify with him when we go get baptized as well. And so if you're a Christian and you haven't been baptized, something to think about and pray about and talk to Pastor Brock and your leaders here at Bethany Baptist about taking that next step in your faith. And what does that mean to be baptized? And so we need to remember that Jesus is the Son of God who came to save us. And those who confess the Son, we have the Father, and God is in us, and we are in God. Let's pray. Well, Jesus, we thank you that you are God, that you are creator of all things. Everything was created by you and through you and for you. And you are also our Savior who came to this world to save us. And that we cannot save ourselves, but we needed a Savior, and that you came from heaven to save us. Lord, we thank you. We praise you, Lord. Help us to grow in our faith in you and our worship of you, our devotion to you, Lord. And give us boldness to share this amazing truth of who you are to others around. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon from Bethany. We invite you to worship together with us on Sundays. For more information, visit BethanyChicago.org.